Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Tacticam. Tacticam is by far the easiest way to begin filming your hunts. Whether it's the budget-friendly Solo or the 4K 5.0, Tacticam has something for everyone. Check them out at tacticam.com. This year, we're also working with Spartan Forge. Spartan Forge is military-grade intelligence for the deer woods. I can't go out on a hunt without checking Spartan Forge to look at all my different areas, checking deer movement, whether they're going to be in the core area, whether they're going to be very active, not very active. It has weather. It has some of the best mapping imagery of any of the apps that are out there. And I literally use it every single time that I hit the woods. You can check them out at spartanforge.ai. You can use code BOWHUNTER to save 25%, and it's available for Android and Apple. Check them out at spartanforge.ai. This podcast is with Baron Ridge Tree Stands, Aaron Sheets. They're the guys with that, what Aaron calls, and we'll get into it on the podcast, the classic looking mini climber platform. So they sent us one of these and I was a bit skeptical. John was super skeptical. But you've seen so many guys use the Lone Wolf hand climbers and you still can't buy one. They're probably worth more today than they were brand new or very close for guys that are modding them and using them. So the idea is there, and it's just been a matter of time until someone puts it into market. So somebody had to be first. These are made right in the USA by working-class guys, and it starts out like a lot of stuff does. Make one for yourself, then your buddies want them, then you end up going into production, and they're out there, and they're first, I think. As long as saddle hunting continues to progress the way that it is, I think we're going to see a lot more in that space of platform. But Aaron's a great guy, and we talk about all the processes, all the testing, everything that went into it, and the thought process on why would I want to use a climber? I'm limited to those trees. We get into all of that discussion. This is probably going to be the last podcast for the year for us, so we won't be back again until after the holiday, but we just want to say thank you to everybody. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and thank you so much to our Patreons. Patreon is crowdfunding for creators. It helps us run the show. It helps with everything that I'm looking at here. We're getting into video this year, hardcore, getting all of that figured out. All of that is, you know, on the backs of the Patreons, and it really helps us to do what we're doing. And we do giveaways. This is going to be the last time for you to get in for that quarterly giveaway. We're giving away one of the X2 packs, as John went over in that last podcast, as that's his primary pack, and it is for many, many people. We're giving away one of those X2 packs. We're giving away one of the Tacticam Reveal SK cameras with the solar dual band, so you can use it on Verizon or AT&T. I've got two of those up in the UP that I still get great pictures on, even when there's like barely any service up there. Very, very impressed. And because the Patreon spoke and they wanted one, we've got an Evolution 2.0 from Carter. So if you want to try a back tension release, you know, this is a way to get in very cheaply, to try to win one, I guess. And Spartan Forge gives away a year subscription to their services. Our friends at Zinger Fletchings give away some of their 3D printed compression fit fletchings. Just a lot of different opportunities to win stuff. And we appreciate that very much. You can check that out at patreon.com/ Bullhunter Chronicles podcast or bullhunterchroniclespodcast.com. And then you can just click on the Patreon link or it's in our Instagram. But this is a great podcast. You know, we love seeing guys come out with products to be first to put their passion into something. And just like podcasting or YouTube or whatever, you know, to sit down and have a conversation with people that are doing something. There's so many people out there that say, well, you can't do that. Or I thought of that or whatever. It's just always great to talk to people that are actually, you know, putting their money where their mouth is and going out there and manning up and getting something done. So love these kind of podcasts for that very reason. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for everything this year. Enjoy the episode. All right, everybody, Adam back with another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. John down here with me in studio working on some new camera stuff. And John came down here and said, what in the hell do you have going on here?
Yeah, looks good.
But trying out some new stuff. Going to be in, like I said, for the 2022, like seriously getting into video and not throwing things around in the studio here.
Making noise.
But that's what we do. So we got Aaron Sheets tonight with Barron Ridge Tree Stands. And if you're a saddle hunter and you have been following along, this could be like one of the most, I don't want to say controversial, but like talked about products out right now. And it's kind of one of those things. And we'll, I want to get into it just talking with John even about like methodology and thought process. But it is, well, Aaron, why don't you introduce yourself and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and what I'm rambling about.
Yes, sir. And thanks for having me on again, guys. My name is Aaron Sheets. I am a co-owner of Barron Ridge Tree Stands. I'm a 2013 graduate of Radford University. I'm a assistant project manager and estimator for Southern Thermal Solutions, do pipe insulation, commercial cold storage. This is something that we've been kind of fiddling around with for about a year now. Alex came up with the idea when he started saddle hunting last year in public land, and he designed it for himself. And he's a full-time taxidermist, and he had piles of people constantly coming in to his shop that wanted to check it out and try it out. And it just kind of evolved from there. He got a lot of interest in it and sold a bunch to some of our buddies. And we just decided to take this thing on full bore.
And so you said that he had started, so how many guys are involved with the project, and how did it come from something in the taxidermy shop to a full blown production? And I guess, what is it that we're talking about? Like,
right. So, last part, it's a saddle climbing platform that we designed specifically for saddle hunters. It is it's a mini climber, and it is exactly what it sounds like. You know, you get up in the tree with it, and you can use 1 foot or 2 foot. You know, we recommend 1 foot, putting your foot against it, a foot against the tree, and just bring it up the tree. We just released our fully produced video that our good friend Tyler Weaver from The Given Right, he films for The Given Right, and he made a video for us. We just released that this week, and it's three of us. It's me, Josh Ravlin, and Alex Ravlin. Alex Ravlin is the creator. Josh, of course, is his brother, and then it's me as well.
Okay. So you said he started saddle hunting last year. Like, overall, what's your style of hunting and like a hunting history?
So my hunting history is, I grew up hunting private land. I still predominantly do hunt private land. Most of my properties that I hunt are 100 acres, 200 acres. So mobile hunting is not really needed, but I love jumping around. I love, you know, just getting to adjust, you know, based on the wind. Like, I still want to hunt this buck that's, you know, maybe using this hollow. So, you know, just based on the wind with the saddle and this climbing platform, I can just adjust, you know, just bounce around tree to tree instead of lugging my 20 something pound Summit Viper or old 1980s API around or resetting climbing sticks, you know, whatever. That's been my hunting history. Alex and our other friend got us into saddle hunting last year. He bought a Cruiser XC and he just raved and raved and raved about it. And so Alex went out and got him a tethered Eberhardt series and he started using it. And he was using the climbing sticks and stuff. And Alex is just buck wild. Like, our public land here is anywhere from 60,000 acres to 100,000 acres. And for those that don't know, we're in the western part of Virginia. We're butted right smack up against West Virginia. So, I mean, it is mountains. And Alex doesn't care. If there's a buck out there, he's going to go find it. He'll hike 3, 4, 5 miles in, you know, with bringing sticks and stuff. Like, yeah, those sticks might be light, but there's a monstrous difference in carrying 15, 20 pounds in versus carrying 10 or 12 for 4 or 5 miles going up mountains, back down mountains to go, you know, chase them bucks that have probably never even seen a person before. That's the kind of deer he goes after. So that was the initial part of him inventing this climber, because we grew up using climbers. He did too. So he literally made it for himself. Like, this was his thing he made for himself. And then, like I said, people were coming to this taxidermy shop, saw it sitting on a freezer, and, you know, started asking and joking, like, you know, is that your climber you made for your baby? And he's like, no, that's that's mine.
So this kind of where I wanted to ask John here about the like, kind of like the methodology and the use of it, because, you know, we came up, like, I guess, John, for you, when you started hunting, from like your first mobile type setup or whatever, was it?
My first setup ever was a Baker tree stand. So it was the old aluminum frame, you know, heavy, loud, you know, clanker.
And then
we went to like the TSS Sniper, another, you know, climbing stand. Along the way, we had some just old lock-ons and stuff, but, you know, we hunted all public land, so we didn't really leave our stands out anywhere because, you know, they'd just get ripped off.
And then when did you end up with a, like, Summit, or did you go through the Loggy Bayou phase?
No. Oh, yeah, Loggy Bayou was, like, I had one of those up until, well, I ended up giving it to my buddy Jason, you know, a few years ago, but I switched over from the Loggy over to a Summit, actually it was an API, I think, and because I like the full capture, mm-hmm. you know, like, man, I can't believe I sat all those years in a freaking stand with no harness and nothing around me, and it was like, well, but, and then, you know, as we progressed in and got better, like, lock-ons, you know, I used some of those too. And then, you know, then we got the XOPs
because what I just thinking about myself was similar. Like, my dad had an old Baker and then had Loggy Bayou. And then I hunted out of that a few times, and that's when I met Frank and everything went, you know, to where we're at today. But the question seems to be, you know, well, with this mini climber, why don't you just use a regular climber? Why, you know, you're still limited to the same amount of tree selection and everything like that. But, you know, so many guys have had so much success from that. Right. And there's so many guys that, even in like our Patreon group and different things, they'll say, you know, I thought it was going to save weight, and here I am at 30 pounds or, you know, 28 pounds.
It's definitely, I mean, with the saddle sticks and all the equipment, there's definitely not a weight savings. It's just a bulk savings and getting into any tree that you want. I mean, for me.
So that's like where I guess my thing with this stand is like, I threw it on the scale before we came down here, because they sent it to me. I didn't even, you know, just small little Teresa and I didn't need to weigh it, knowing, you know, it don't weigh that much. Right. But it's on my scale. I don't know what your advertised weight is, Aaron, but it was 3.8 pounds on my scale. And, you know, so then I had this TX5 with a couple of ropes, and one of them is an XOP rope that has like a 1 pound carabiner on it or whatever. Right. And that was 3.2 pounds. So you're looking at 7 pounds, and realistically, aside from something to hang your bow from, that's all you would need.
Yep.
And now I want to get into your thoughts on this, Aaron, and like you guys' production and your feedback and everything like that, because personally, well, why don't you go into like how the thing works, and then I'll tell you why it doesn't, but we'll go from there. Nice.
That's cool. And to touch on what y'all said, you know, yeah, like, why wouldn't I use my summit? You know, I mean, you know, if you're somebody like me who only walks in 100 yards, you know, yeah, you know, do what suits your budget, man. Like, do what you have. Like, what, how is ours better? Well, it's smaller, so it's not going to climb magnets as many trees. You know, it's not as big as the summit. So, yeah, you're not going to be bumping against stuff, rubbing against stuff. It's not going to be as cumbersome. It's not going to be as heavy, you know. But as far as like how it works, so what you're gonna do is you're just gonna attach it to the tree. You're gonna attach your tether. You're gonna get up in it. You're gonna hook yourself to your tether first. You're gonna strap yourself in for safety. Then you're gonna put your boot strap, which is gonna be the one that's attached, that's permanently attached to the stand. You're gonna put that over your boot. You're gonna take your other leg strap around. You're gonna go around your Achilles. You really don't want to get that too tight, because that thing can crimp down pretty freaking tight, and you won't have any mobility in your foot. And then all you're going to do is you're going to raise your tether above your head. You're going to tighten your tether, put one leg against the tree. It's not an exercise. You're literally just going to place it against the tree for leverage. You're going to put all your weight back into the saddle, and you're just going to lift your foot up. And if you take your time, or if you have any experience at all in using a climbing stand, it's going to be quiet. You're going to be quiet, because it's not a fast jerking motion. It is not, again, it's not an exercise. You're just literally shifting all your weight back into your seat. You know, lift your foot up. You're going to tighten your tether again. You're going to get two climbs out of each time you put your tether above your head. And you're just going to repeat that process up until you get to your hunting height. And once you get to your hunting height, you're going to loosen your leg strap, put it around the tree, and tighten it down. Like, get that son of a gun tight. Because then once you do that, one of the most common questions I get is about side pressure. And we wanted to wait until we actually did it ourselves before we answered this question, because side pressure is one of the most commonly asked questions. And if you get that bootstrap around that tree tight, you can hunt just about any way you want to. It passed all the ASTM tests we sent it to. We sent it out to a third-party testing facility. It got a 300-pound safety rating. We went through the repetition test, which is 300 pounds, bounced off of it 10,000 times, which takes 48 continuous hours to pass. And then we had the adherence test, which is a side pressure-like test. They'll put 300 pounds on each corner of the tree stand to see how much it deflects. It's a deflection and adherence test. So this is not something that, you know, we make in a garage that we think's cool and sell. This is something that we paid several thousand dollars to get tested and get certified by the ASTM. Paid the money out of pocket. We got reports, graphs, everything we needed to sell a safe product to the public.
Yeah, I think that's huge, and that process is, you know, if you don't. I want to say that this is not, even if you, I don't even know. So it's one of those things where it's not like I feel like not a beginner level thing. Because we grew up with climbers, and, you know, John talking about the Baker stands and the early Loggy Bayous, and even some of the later Loggy Bayous where there was no top portion. So you were hugging the tree and lifting up and going up. And, you know, for, I don't think until I used my lone wolf sit and climb, did I ever use a harness climbing up the tree with a tree stand. Now, when I got up there, I used it. But climbing the tree, never. And because of that, I think it was easy for me to use this thing. And then I'm comfortable with a saddle. So I trust the ropes. I trust the process. I trust the whole thing. My brother-in-law, on the other hand, I threw him in it when we were up in the UP and said, go ahead and use it just like another climber. Well, he'd never really been in a saddle, so he didn't trust the ropes, and he was kind of swinging around, and he was pretty leery of what the whole process. So, like, for guys that just want to step in and they want to say, okay, well, I hunt from a climber now, and they've used a two-piece climber their whole life, and they've always had something to put their hands on and just kind of like do a dip and pull their weight up, and then they've never been in a saddle. This is going to be a much different experience, I would say. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is going to be something that's going to take some practice and some getting used to for beginner hunters, like you said. You can climb with it with 2 feet if people feel more comfortable with that. You know, we don't have that in our instructions, but that kind of veers off into just a comfortability thing and a safety thing with what you feel is safer and more comfortable for yourself as a user. But yeah, as far as being geared toward people who have been hunting for a while, yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's a quick question. I'm looking at it. So what's the biggest tree you can get in? About a 12 inch?
So no, with the 4 foot cable, which comes with each tree stand, you can get in 9 inch to 17 inch diameter. We do sell 5 foot cables for larger trees and 3 foot cables for if you want to tackle smaller trees, kind of like we do. We like the 3 foot cable better personally, because I mean, you can on smaller trees, you can scream up a tree.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. So I was using it today in the yard here again before this, trying to scooch around and see different trees and different tree sizes, and and we had talked. So none of this is really surprising to Aaron, because we had talked about like some of like my thoughts and some of like the limitations and kind of where they're going with it, but even on some of those trees where it'll just fit around, it's almost like the stand itself is too narrow, because it doesn't.
That's what I was looking at.
Yeah,
just because of the width of the width of the stand itself. You know, the cable might go around the tree, but how? I guess I haven't messed with that. I haven't climbed a tree or tried to yet. So I was just looking at it, just you know, like well. The diameter tree is going to be limited.
Yeah, and for people that are like the methodology of this, and that, so I just picked up a one stick setup, and I weighed that today because I wanted to see, you know, when we're talking about weight philosophies of use, all of these different things, and that stick. With the 40 foot of rope and the aider and everything is like 5.8 pounds. So with that, and it's a heavy stick, but with that in the saddle, so now you're up about 9 pounds versus 8 pounds with that. But even if you were to use this and I know you had talked there about side pressure, and that's the one thing that people are curious about. One of the questions that I had was, you know, you're going to have those, I don't know what you'd call it, the arms or the supports, the upright tubes on the sides, that some people will ask about limiting movement around the tree and all of that sort of thing. But many guys that are one sticking are carrying up a platform anyways. So if you wanted to use this as a sub 4 pound climbing method, you're still miles ahead if you're in an area where you know where there's pole trees and you can get up them and you're used to it. You know, I mean, you'd be at, you know, 8 pounds, 9 pounds plus your saddle, which, you know, some guys will say, well, sticks are the same way, but I mean, I can tell you that I somehow like caught lightning in a bottle picking trees in the UP because the one tree was perfect size and I was so incredibly high that it was like in a matter of minutes where every little breeze was like kind of like some pucker factor. But Aaron, what's like the feedback that you're getting online, both good and bad, right?
So,
well, and I guess even from people that are using it and then people that are online. So you can kind of debunk any myths.
So as far as users go, I would say we've gotten dang close to 98% being positive feedback from people that have actually used it. Those people might say that, you know, yeah, bigger trees, it's not really that great, but for medium size to small size, they love it. For people who haven't used it, Facebook has been Facebook. It's been a pretty even split. A lot of people are worried about noise. As I say, the pins look loud, and that's a very fair thing to say if you haven't used it. For people who have used it, I haven't got a single report back from somebody saying it's loud. Other things have been limbs. People ask about, you know, what do I do when I come to limbs? Because we are an insured business, I have to say, you either cut them off or find another tree. But really, I mean, the negative has not really been negative. It's been more critical, I'd say, just with the noise, with how is this any better than my one stick? Has been a lot of it. Or how is this better than my sticks? Because I can get up trees with limbs. And we realize, you know, people around the United States are not as fortunate as we are, man. Like all of our trees around here in our mountains, public land, doesn't matter. They're hickories, they're poplars, they're oaks. That's our trees that we have. So just about anywhere you hunt, if you're hunting with us in Augusta, Rockingham, Nelson, Albemarle County, any local county, it's pick your preference. Like it's literally pick whatever you want. And we get that not everybody's that lucky. So when it comes to limbs, you know, treat it as another tool in your tool bag, man. You know, if you're going to a spot that you're familiar with and you don't think you can use it, don't use it. Use what you know is going to work. Go kill your buck. Go kill your deer. Don't force the issue. If you're hunting a new spot and you think you might have some telephone poles out there, that's what ours is designed for. Easy, light carry. Scream up a tree. Go kill your deer. If you're hunting your place that you're familiar with and you know it's not going to work, don't use it. It's a tool in your tool belt. It's not a one size fits all. It's not here to erase everything. It's here to help and be another tool for you to go kill your deer.
So for me, one of the things that the improvements that I would make is the footprint that it has isn't that big to begin with. And so having to adjust both pins, if you had to adjust both sides, you'd have to adjust both pins on both sides because it does fold flat. And like messing around with that, and I guess if you had used it a whole bunch and obviously, you know, you guys have made it, you've probably taken those pins out and put them back in, you know, 4 million times. But for me, trying to do that process in the dark, line it up and get those pins in there, I think you could almost leave it welded open It doesn't take up that much space. It's not that bulky compared to, I mean, everybody's going to say, well, you know, my Shakar sticks, they are only as tall as a dollar bill when they're folded up. And, you know, the new Skeletors are, you know, pretty thin. But, I mean, I'm looking at three Beast sticks together and they're, you know, 10 inches tall. I mean, that isn't that much bigger. And I would make it just a little bit wider to fit some of those trees that are, you know, basketball size or larger. And it's not about foot room. I think we've had the conversation on here a million times about, do you need the Predator XL or the Mission or whatever? And by that time you end up with a lot more weight and things, but
yeah, cause I prefer the regular Predator, the smaller one. I had to step out for a second, so maybe I missed it, but so are you using, I mean, how long have you been saddle hunting?
I've been saddle hunting. I started when Alex invented this and he wanted me to come over and try it. And his was the first time I've ever even been in a saddle. And his was the Eberhard series by Tethered. And I ended up buying it and I love it. And I loved it so much. Like, man, this year, even if I went to a stand I already have set up, which would be like a latch on, like I flip the latch on around and just use my saddle and just cause I love it so much. It's just better. It's just so much more fun. It just adds another cool dimension to something that we do so much in hunting that it's just so much more fun. And I use our platform all year long. And to touch on something y'all said about being wider, that is something that we have been actively discussing. By actively, I mean literally every single day we're talking about improvements and how can we get better. You know, yeah, it's cool being the first. And like we talked before, you know, we're going to catch all the flack. We're going to catch all the negativity, the positivity. And that's a bonus for us because, yeah, we can see where we need to get better. And as far as the pins go, you know, the way I used to stand, I leave it set up because I don't want to be messing with the pins either. And like you said, you know, I don't use it folded up. I keep it on the outside of my backpack. So the only thing I got to do is remove the left side, throw the pins back in. Let's get climbing.
Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question, John? Like,
yeah. I was just trying to get a background, you know, like on how much, you know, saddle experience he has. And have you used any of the other well, obviously you kind of answered that. You haven't used any of the other platforms or climbing mm-hmm. methods.
No, I haven't used any of the actual saddle related sticks. I have some bone collector sticks just from using different tree stand methods that I've used in conjunction with the saddle. And it's all fun. I mean, it's they're all fun. They all have their perks. They all have their time and place.
Sure. So I guess one of the questions I would ask you is like, what is your average hunting height?
It just depends. It depends on where I'm at. This year I hunted with the platform and I got in late and I literally hunted 4 feet off the ground. And I just had a spot where that's all the higher I needed to get. And I had great cover and I had two bucks come in within 3 yards of me and feed and eat acorns all evening. And they never even looked at me. But then other times, you know, I like to get up to 20, 24 feet. Just depends on where I'm at and how far I need to see and if I'm using a gun or bow.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty typical answer there. I was just curious because being in like hill country and stuff, you know, if you find yourself regularly in spaces where you want to be, you know, 25, 30 feet up because of the ridge systems or whatever, mm-hmm. that's another few sticks and that changes weight dramatically, things like mm-hmm. that. Now, I don't know if it was today or the last time I was hunting, John. I was thinking this because I've been hunting quite a bit lower this year and looking at cover and things like that. And I thought about it like in your hunting career or whatever, with a climber, did you ever find yourself hunting 5 feet off the ground or 8 feet off the ground?
Never. Like, I was always, so I think we kind of talked about this before. I was always like at the 20 foot because my bow rope was always 20 feet and I would tie it to the my bottom section of my stand and I would usually go up until that got tight. And there was times where I actually would pull my bow up. So, but it was because I was in a pole tree and I was trying to get up, you know, unless I had a tree, say like a hemlock or a cedar that was like right next to the other tree where I'd have some limbs, but I'd still get up, you know, 20 feet.
Cause that's one of the things I just found myself thinking about is like, you know, and it might be just based on like you carried all that bulk out there and then you have to find this certain tree that you can get up and there's usually not cover around it. So right. you're in the wide open and you're like, all right, well, I need to be up there to that spot where now I'm like, man, if I could just get right there.
Right.
And I just wonder how much of that, you know, plays into some of the decisions. Now for you, Aaron, in the areas that you hunt, that kind of sounds like where you're hunting, where you're walking through all of these, this vast forest where the canopy's way up there. So they're all pole trees. So you're just trying to get up out of line of sight, right?
Exactly. Especially on public land where we went yesterday, you know, Corey and I were discussing this, like with it, yes, being such a high canopy, like, you know, we have 6 and 8 foot scrub trees where, you know, bow season, you just need just to get above them. Well, rifle season, I mean, if you get 20 or 30 feet up, you can shoot 300-400 yards through the forest just because, I mean, it is old woods.
Okay. So you said you guys were, you know, making stands, all working like gangbusters today. I guess what's coming down the pike, or like how, where's your guys' mind at? Like you said, you're going to take all the flack for being first and everything. And I think one of the things I don't want to say like nervous about, but I think I'd be kind of pissed is, you know, you guys are kind of hanging it all out there, right? To say, mm-hmm. you know, you're testing the waters and you're going to take all of the flack. But then the next guy's going to come along and he's going to be like, I see what all their problems are. Now we're going to fix them and we're going to make the next best thing. So what are you doing to kind of be like ahead of that?
So we absolutely read every single comment multiple times on Facebook, Instagram. I've been trying to be as active as I can on getting people honest answers and feedback who reach out to us. And we see everything and we're trying to adjust to it. So we do have something else planned out where we're kind of talking about maybe possibly doing a little bit larger stand. Trying to mess with some things. One thing that we're really fighting to figure out is the cable. And we see a lot of people saying, you know, why don't you use the Lone Wolf? The Lone Wolf cable. Lone Wolf cable is awesome. Yeah, the Lone Wolf cable is badass. It's also trademarked and copyrighted. So we can't use that. I mean, it is awesome. It is perfect. It's a great idea, but we can't do that. The other things we have in the works, we really badly wanted to go to ATA this year and the Great American Outdoor Show to just get in front of people and talk to them in person to let them know, like, you know, we're not a billion-dollar company. We're not a million-dollar company. I'm not even sniffing that. We're just regular rednecks, just like everybody else who hunts. We just wanted to talk to people, but that's something that we're going to do next year when we're a little bit better prepared and have a little bit more inventory built up. We're actively trying daily. I mean, Alex and I and Josh and I, we talk for hours every single day about how we can get better, how we can grow ourselves to maybe one day actually be in the conversation with Lone Wolf. Because the fact of the matter is, if Lone Wolf or some of these other companies come out with something like us, they are who they are. They are who they are. They can go off the name. But it's been fun and it's been just awesome just to see people around the United States talking about something we did And it's just been, it's been a dream come true, and it's still hard to wrap my head around.
So let's just address the elephant in the room. Probably the question that you get every single time with the, why don't you use the lone wolf? Like, why isn't it cast?
So that's a great question. Number one, cast is not as strong as tube, and we're just not willing to sacrifice something that's sexy for something that's safer. Tube aluminum is stronger than cast aluminum. Ours, when we had the 600 pounds hanging off of it, ours didn't flinch. It didn't even crack or creak. Like you and I talked, the tube in the back does bow a little bit when you use it. And that's just because you got stainless on aluminum, but it's only going to bow so much. It's only just going to, it's just going to create a little bit of a dip, but it's not going to increase. It's something that is not going to get bigger. It's never going to worsen. It's going to be what it is. And that's just for your, the way it goes when you're climbing. The cast, also the long answer of why we don't do cast is because the companies that you work with, they have to create a mold. And when they create a mold, you have to pay for the mold. And also to make it worth their time, they're going to crank out 50 to 100,000 units to make it worth that company's time. And you're talking close to $250,000 out of pocket, maybe even $500,000 out of pocket. And then we're also sitting on those 50,000, 100,000 units and hoping like hell we can sell them. Because if not, we got a warehouse somewhere that's got 50,000 stains in it that aren't selling.
Not only that, then if you make upgrades, you're stuck with the old model that's probably not going to sell as well.
That's exactly right. When you come up with that newer, better thing, that something, that light bulb comes on and clicks, you're exactly right. You're sitting there still with that warehouse full.
Right.
Yeah. So, like I say, that to me is the one question that, in, you know, realistically, you would just be, you'd be damned if you do and damned if you don't, because it's like, oh, well, they're just ripping off Lone Wolf's hand climber seat. Like, you know, so there'd be so many haters on that side of it too.
Yep. And theirs is a great product. I mean, it is what it is, dude. That's an awesome product. It looks great and it works. It is what it is.
Yeah. I've seen a bunch of those that have been like modified and adapted, and you know, a bunch of them have broken and different things. But the one thing that I've seen on it that I thought, the only one that I've seen like it, is they took one and then they put an actual post in the center of it. So like once they got to hunting height, they flipped that up and then put a cam buckle around it. So it
didn't move.
So it operated just like a regular stand, but you still had all the things hanging off of the side of it. So
right.
It was kind of, I don't know, you were still, you know, captured inside of that thing. But, you know, for everybody, like my thoughts are, you know, it just whether it's a stand in itself or using it as a climbing system, you know, for a guy that loves his climber, but hates, I mean, again, he would never use it, like I said, but for, you know, my father-in-law, Frank, those guys are climbers till the end. They're never going to change ever. But at some point, you know, the 25 pounds or whatever hanging off his back for, you know, 2 foot out here and getting snagged up on everything, it seems like it would be a no-brainer for that guy. And if for nothing else, it would be somewhat of like the gateway into saddle hunting, where you could still hunt all of your same stuff without having to carry as much bulk and having to learn stick. Because, I mean, just think about it, like Frank or Chris, like trying to do sticks.
Yeah.
It's not.
Or one sticking.
Well, and that again goes, I mean, back.
Because you're kind of comparing the two. I mean, one sticking to this as a climbing.
Well, and that's one of the things I wanted to say to you about even like method of use. So John here, when I got the saddle 3 years ago, and he's like, there's no way in hell you're getting me in that thing, it's so stupid.
Yeah,
and then it's like, hanging around in a diaper. let me try this.
No, was, well, they've all heard up the story. I mean, I was at the point where I was either gonna not hunt or find something that, you know, I could carry that was lighter and less bulky. And that's when you're like, well, just take my, I'm not hunting tonight, take my, I think at the time you had the Manis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, that was a no-brainer. Like, there's still, I mean, I don't know. There's still times where I think about, you know, sitting in the stand. I mean, I sat, like, I think it was the next day. We went hunting together. That's when we did the ZZ Top. But, and I kept feeling like I was falling out of my tree stand. I mean, I was hooked in. But that's the one thing that I like the most about saddle hunting is that you're always secure. Like, you're never going to just fall out.
But then, like, keep going to, like, one stick and bullshit. We're not doing that in here. Now we're looking at one of the one sticks here. And, you know, I thought John was going to give me, like, a whole bunch of crap. But, you know, for all of this stuff, like, we got to – I feel like we're doing the listeners a disservice if we don't understand it and have some experience right. with it. And I thought for sure John's going to be like, whatever, that's so stupid. And then the last episode, he says, yeah, well, ever since I seen that video of Taylor doing it, you know, I was thinking about giving it a shot, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, after seeing Taylor do it and then, you know, the thought process on it is like, if there's a spot where I need to get way up, you're only limited by your rappel rope at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, yeah, it's not going to be for every situation. I mean, you know, I love my Wild Edge steps. I like the Timber Ninja sticks, but just the, yeah, it's a little more step at a time, one step at a time, but you're pulling them out of the pouch, put them on when you come down, you're putting them back in the pouch, you get to the bottom of the tree, you tuck them in and throw them in your pack. Sticks, I just always had, you know, you got them dangling off you as you're climbing up and, you know, shit's hitting you in the face. And, but
that's why I think, like, from a product like this,
right?
Like,
so
just
and don't get me wrong,
little bit of refinement, and I think you'd be right there and in the same thought process.
I'm going to be 100% honest here. When Adam pulled that thing out of the box the first time I seen it, I was like, what the fuck is that? I mean, with all the clips and the cables and all the stuff, I'm like, and I grabbed it and I shook it and it was like, sounds like, you know, reindeer coming through the woods. But now he's got it all stealth stripped and everything is, you know, kind of tightened up. It's not nearly as loud. And like, as you explained it, you're not going up. It's not like a race. You're going up nice and slow. You know, it's another tool. I'm just going to have to give it a shot and give it a try. But so what's the retail on that?
They're for sale for $280. We have, 3 different colors available. We got black, bronze, and green. It's 100% made in the USA. It's actually all made here in Augusta County, welded, powder coated, cut, local metal distributor. So it's all 100% USA.
Okay. What's like your turnaround? Like, how long does it take you to build that? Like, when you say you send it out, you got one shop doing them, or do you have it like one shop cuts them, one shop is welding them up?
So we actually do all the cutting ourselves. So from the time that we get the metal, we cut it, send it to the welders. We usually send 25 to 30 to 40 at a time to go to the welder. That usually takes about a week for him to get them welded. And then we'll take them to the powder coater. Powder coating takes anywhere, depending on how busy they are, from 2 days to a week. So roughly 2 weeks to get them back to us before we can ship them out. And then take them to UPS. And typically UPS gets them to people, you know, we're from Virginia to Minnesota, Florida, New Hampshire, wherever we're shipping them, is about 2 to 3 days.
True.
Yeah, like I say, the pins for me, and you know, John, he was saying, you know, it just reminds him of the older tree scenes. But what in that capacity, I guess, what are your options? What are the other options besides pins? I mean, I'm sure people are coming out of the woodwork telling you this is what you need to do.
So the main feedback we get there is just don't do pins. We left those in the 80s. That was a comment on Facebook, and I actually laughed at it, and I was like, yeah, I know. It's just something that, I mean, I've been racking my brain on it for several months on how we can do it, and we've thought about something like the Kong, maybe where it can just clip against it and maybe just get a little bit bigger cable. But then you get a big cable, you have more weight. As far as the design goes, that was something you and I discussed about, you know, being old school. It's not old school, it's classic. And that is the design is literally just a safety factor, man. It's you have your weight being held on four different points. So it's just a much, much, much safer route for our customers and everybody that's using it, because you're locked in four different places. You got two on the left side, two on the right side. You got to work on a 45 degree angle. So your weight's never being distributed and focused in on one area. We've messed with the design. We've messed with a lot of different things. And that's something that we're currently working on. Like I said, before the podcast, we have something new going to the welder that we hope to get out in maybe the next year or two.
Yeah. So like what are you guys up against with, like, patents and proprietary stuff? Because I mean, if you look at the Loggy Bayou or the Summit, they got those cables with them big ass balls on them that it seems to be like what everybody uses in the climber market, and they clack around and they make a lot of noise, and you know, but
I mentioned the old APIs. They used to have a chain.
Yeah, well, that's
the pins through.
Yeah,
I still got three of them. I love them.
But then the cable, the sheathing on it would all crack, and then it would get stuck.
Mm-hmm. But even like something like that, yep. Like is that proprietary? Like, could you not?
I don't think the API would be, just because it is such an old model. I mean, like I said, I got three of them that I use. I'm pretty sure Dad got those in like 1985 or something like that. So we could probably maybe go something along that route. I'd love to figure out something, just something else, something just a little bit prettier and more efficient too, but it ain't dawned on me yet. And if anybody out there has any ideas, hit me up on Facebook. I'm open to all suggestions.
Well, and again, like, that's why I like to have these conversations with people that are doing something, but I also like really appreciate the fact that like, you guys can understand that, you know, you've built a classic rather than something that is, you know, cutting edge or whatever. Now, the idea is something that's, you know, maybe never been done before. However, it's, you know, you're going back and using technology that works, and that has worked, but it's just not, you know, what people are expecting these days. I mean, I guess that's the best way to put it.
It kind of reminds me, I remember way, way back in when Angler Archer was still down and the TSS snipers came out, they actually shipped out little mini stands that they would put on a little display model. And when I first seen it, I was like, man, it looks just like the display model. But
like when you're going through the like tent section of like Dunham's, right, or whatever, yeah, and they got the little tents up there, hey, showing you like,
honey, what? I shrunk the tree stand. But I mean, smaller is better, right?
That's what I tell her. But yeah, man, like I say, where are you guys? Like, what's your, like, 10-year, 5-year, 1-year goals? I mean, how have you, from the time, when did you launch this?
We actually didn't launch until, was it November 11th? November 11th is when we launched the website. November 13th, we came onto Facebook and posted everywhere that, you know, this is what we got. Here we are. We received a pile of feedback, good, bad, and indifferent, everywhere from this is awesome to I can make this in my garage for $25. You know, why do I need to spend $280? It's like, well, if you can do that and your labor's free, give me a call. I'd love for you to work for me. And just all kinds of crazy feedback and stuff. But it's been fun. We've been doing ads and stuff on Facebook, Instagram, just trying to get our name out there. People know about us. One year goal, we just want to keep selling. We want to keep selling. We want to go to these shows. We want to meet people. We want to talk to people, let them know we're just normal people. We're not millionaires. We don't have $1 million credit line through the bank that we're just spending money on. Going to be on the Outdoor Channel. It's nothing like that. We'd like to be there. You know, 1 year, 5 years, we'd love to have, I'd love to be doing this full time. That's my personal goal. I want to be doing this full time. I want to go to shows, go to talk to people, have this be a full-time thing. That's really the biggest thing is I want to grow this company as much as we possibly can.
So hindsight being 2020 and just simply asking, like launching like in the middle of the season, like were you guys set out to, you know, what we're going to say, okay, well, we want to get this thing done by this summer, or did it all just come together that quickly? And you're like, okay, well now the ball's rolling. We gotta, you know, get some of these things sold.
So initially Alex had his idea and he went in front of a couple companies and presented it. And going back to the patent thing, he wanted to get it patented. The patent office said, no, we can't do this. It's too close to just a traditional climber like everybody else says. We can't give you a patent. So that rolls into August and September. And me and his brother just kept telling him, like, dude, like, we got something. Like, we might not be millionaires in a year or two, but we got something that will sell. So we decided to take it on ourselves. And we wanted to launch before bow season. Well, ultimately, it came down to insurance. Insurance just took much longer than we thought it was. We got it tested. The guys that we sent it down to in Georgia, SGS, TEC, they did a phenomenal job. They got our product turned right around like a week or two. They sent it back to us. So we were well in front of our set deadline, which was October 1st. Insurance just took longer and just took months to put together. So that's why we ended up coming out in the middle of November versus October 1st was literally just because of insurance.
Well, I think that that's like incredibly important, you know, for, you know, whatever people want to think that these guys just make them in their garage and, you know, there's nothing behind them, that you guys went through everything to do all the testing, that you are fully insured, that it's, you know, everything is, you know, done correctly. Is important, but I see, you know, we talk to a lot of people like in around the hunting industry that don't have time to hunt, that don't have, you know, that deal with, you know, with, like John asking about the, like the turnaround time and stuff, that have, you know, all the stuff with, you know, we're going to put out this product, everything's going to be great. And then you do all the hype and then you can't deliver on it, or you end up right in the middle of the season where you can't win for trying because everybody's in the middle of the season and they need it for this trip. They're supposed to be in Missouri and UPS didn't show up. And I can't imagine trying to do that right in the peak of the rut.
Yeah. And that was just about our peak of the rut. And our other partner, Josh, has been instrumental in that part. Like, he has done an absolutely, he's gone above and beyond with the insurance and stuff, and Tyler with helping out on our social media, Tyler from the Given Right TV, he's done an outstanding job with our social media stuff, like where he set us up with pictures and videos. He shot the video and edited it in his own time. He was out in Minnesota and all over the West for the last 3 weeks. Dude gets back, has a newborn baby, gets back home and cranks out our video in a day. Like he spent like 12 hours editing our video and spit it out the next day as soon as he got home. So we got a great team behind us, and it's just been, we're very, very fortunate to have a great team working with us. Talking about having time to hunt, I actually had a vacation the week after we launched, and thankfully we got a bunch of sales. But I hunted the mornings, and from noon till seven, I was over at Alex's boxing stands up and shipping out to people, and I would not have rather done anything else. At that point, we were like, "Yeah, screw hunting. I'd much rather be doing this."
Well, it's always great to see like something that you're doing be accepted, and you know, like for us doing this podcast is like, you know, John and I used to have these conversations, you know, at 3 in the morning in his garage, and it's like, why don't we just start recording this stuff and we'll just talk about it, and then now for whatever reason people listen, so
not sure why, but no.
And John's,
hey,
like,
I like it.
John's like the most like this, right? He's just fly on the wall for much of everything, and then, but you want to talk bow tuning or arrows or anything like that,
fishing,
you better pack a bag. Hope you got a lunch, because it's gonna be a minute. So I like putting him on the spot like that, though.
Well,
too.
Speaking of bows, one of the questions I always ask are, you know, our guest, what's your bow setup? What bow are you shooting?
I'm shooting a Expedition Archery MX-15. That's the company that Tyler films for. The guy that he films for owns Expedition. And Tyler helped me out and hooked me up with it last year. I got pissed because I set a record that I hope nobody out there ever breaks. I missed 4 deer in one sit.
Oh, jeez.
Obviously it was not my fault. It was my bow's fault. So I hit up Tyler and said, I need something new. And he hooked me up with the MX-15. Dude, I freaking love it. It shoots over 300 feet per second is what they say. With my setup, it shoots like 280, 286, something like that. I just shoot some gold tip Hunter XTs, Eras, and NAP Spitfires, I think is what they are. Expandable broadhead. Mm-hmm. Haven't got to shoot a deer yet this year with it. I had one 5 yards out of the saddle, and she just never stopped for me. And I was like, I'm not in the mood to go on a wild goose chase today. I ain't flinging there. Screw it. But I love it so far. I mean, it shoots well for me.
Good deal.
So what's that MX-15, like, do you know a lot about that bow? There is a guy, they were just doing a giveaway, someone who'd lost their house in the tornadoes that went through Kentucky, and they were doing a giveaway of one of those, and I didn't know if it was that's the 5-inch brace height one, like the super fast bow, or what. So do you know?
I think so.
Okay.
I actually don't. I'm actually not real well versed in bows. I'm really not. I apologize. I
don't blame you. I don't think most people are, but now I got to sit next to this guy a lot. So these are all the questions that everybody that he'll ask me about these things, or he'll tell me. Yeah. So,
well, I'm a bow geek. I mean,
but yeah, man, I wanted to have this conversation with you on the podcast, because I can make a video about the stand and I can say, you know, these are the things, the only thing that people are going to get from a conversation like that are the pins. We don't like the pins, and you know, everybody accentuates only on the negatives, and they won't take the time to listen to the entire discussion. So like I said, I didn't want it to come across as like that, you know, for you guys just starting out and for us to say, yeah, these are the things that we don't like about it, this is how I would use it, because people will only see negative. So
right. No, I really appreciate that, man. You and I talked about that on the phone. I respect the hell out of y'all for having me on here and give me an opportunity to be able to not really counter, but for us to discuss it and walk through everything as like why we did this. Why is it the old school setup versus something pretty like the lone wolf hand climber? Like there's reasons for everything. There is a why for every single thing. Yeah. And I just really, really, really appreciate you guys for having me on here and this opportunity to discuss it.
No problem, man. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time and, you know, for sending us one. And, you know, for us to have all of this stuff and to be able to do this is, you know, we get to show it to so many people when we go out and, you know, everybody wants to see the saddles and they want to see the sticks and they want to see everything. So we'll make sure that as many people get a chance to mess with it as we can. But really appreciate the time. So,
hey, absolutely.
All right.
All right.